We're so glad you decided to listen to our program today. Our intent is to inform you and to encourage you. This is Are You Listening? With Jeff Archie of International Gospel Hour. In a busy world with lots of distractions, we need to pay closer attention to God. Are you listening to God's Word today? Here's Jeff.
Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Selah. Our God is the God of salvation, and to God the Lord belong escapes from death. Psalm 68:19-20. What a great way to begin our broadcast today by talking about the salvation of God. Did you notice the phrase that the psalmist brought in? In verse 19, the salvation or the God of our salvation. In verse 20, the God of salvation. And indeed, He will help us to escape from death. What a blessed study ahead on our broadcast of the International Gospel Hour. First, a thank you to our J. Webb, whom you will hear throughout our broadcast, as he will have a couple of great study offers, and also to tell you about the International Gospel Hour app that is available. Everything that Jay will share with you is absolutely free. We do not ask for any money from our listeners. We are grateful to our listeners for their interest in spiritual things. So thank you for joining us today here on our broadcast from the International Gospel Hour. Some time ago, I was honored to receive a kind gift from a preaching brother, Roger Campbell. It was a study book that he penned titled The Salvation of God. He would use this as a study tool when he was serving as a missionary overseas. And it was of great interest to read through this book, and on pages 3 and 4, I was intrigued to see some characteristics of God our Father concerning salvation. For example, first, God has the power to save us. In Acts 4, verses 10 and 12, and in Acts 4, verse 10, it affirms how God raised Christ from the dead. Then verse 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There is salvation in no other name other than in the name of God. After all, He is the God of our salvation. What great assurance to see His power. Let me pause here and think about this. So many times an individual says, "I have sinned so much that I don't think God could ever forgive me." Dear friends, you're underestimating the power of God. You need to allow God's power and your obedience to His will to take care of that. And so many times we want to put ourselves in the forgiving ourselves business when we need to allow that to be with God. Another point that Brother Campbell brought forth in his writings, that God has the desire to save us. This is from 1 Timothy 2 in verse 4 that says of God, who would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That tells me that God is for me. I love the verse in Psalm 56:9, "When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me." God would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now, if He would have all men to be saved, would He not tell men how to be saved? And would He not provide for us the knowledge of the truth so that we may grow? Dear friends, we have both of those. God's plan of salvation is within the Scriptures, the Holy Bible. Here's a third one. God has the compassion to save us. In 1 John 4:10, the Bible says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." He loved us, and then He showed that love by sending His Son. His love was expressed in action. And when Jesus became the propitiation for our sins, His blood was the power to buy us back from a world of sin. And so he has the buyback that we can turn to him knowing of the great compassion of God upon us. And then fourth, Brother Campbell in his introduction says God has the plan to save us. And indeed he does. Time and time here on our broadcast from the International Gospel Hour, we've looked at Ephesians 3, verses 8 through 11, in light of the church. Once again, we go to that wonderful text, "To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord." Oh, dear friends, imagine that. Paul was going to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. That right there tells me God has a plan. His mystery, or that which is revealed, was hidden in God, but he revealed it and made it known through Christ, and it's known by the church. And the church is to proclaim God's plan, God's power, the gospel. And it's according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Before God said, "Let there be light," he had the light right there. And he had the light that would come into the world and would save mankind. I love the introduction of that little booklet, The Salvation of God, and what Brother Campbell brought forth about God having the power, the desire, the compassion, and the plan. So, dear friends, let's allow the thought of the salvation of God to be a great discussion today because of its content. And may it be said, as in the words of Habakkuk the prophet in Habakkuk 3:18, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." So let's talk about the God of our salvation. But first, as I mentioned earlier, we are blessed to offer a number of free studies. So let's pause and hear our J. Webb tell us about one of our free studies from the International Gospel Hour.
Answering Questions to Christianity is another free study we offer from IGH. Are there questions you have about Christianity? Would you not love to have a biblical answer to those questions? Please call toll-free at 1-855-IGH-6988 and leave your name, address, and just say, "Question study." That's it. Again, call toll-free at 1-855-IGH-6988 and please leave your name, address, and just say, "Question study." You may also go to our website at internationalgospelhour.com, click on the Contact tab, and leave us the same information, name, address, and type "Question study" in the message box. We trust this study will help with answers to questions you may have. Let's go back to Jeff.
Let's talk about the God of our salvation. The God of our salvation saves. Listen to 1 Chronicles 16, verse 35. "And say you, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise." My dear friends, that's a broadcast by itself, is it not? What a beautiful prayer of thanks unto the Lord that was granted by David. And from that verse we know that through the salvation of God, one is delivered from this world. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9 reminds us that we are called out from this world and how we are to live, that we may show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. I find that word heathen in the King James Version presents one that is against God. The New King James Version puts the word Gentiles here in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 35. Later translations present nations. And within the context, dear friends, this presents those who were oppressing Israel. And so David was pleading to deliver us from those who are oppressing your people. And this verse will stand true today, that we want to be delivered from the heathen, that we may give thanks to his holy name and glory in his praise. The God of our salvation saves. How about Psalm 14, verse 7? Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. Dear friends, we cannot help but to recall the prophecy of Isaiah. In the latter part of Isaiah 2 and verse 2, Isaiah says, "For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." And indeed, that is what happened. Isaiah was prophesying of the church and its evangelism to tell the world. Listen to Luke 24, 44 through 49, as this indeed was to be fulfilled. Jesus is speaking to his apostles, and he says, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry or remain in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Did you notice where the preaching would begin? At Jerusalem. Just like Isaiah said, Jesus said, and dear friends, when you go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 2, you find it fulfilled. His apostles to whom he was speaking went back to Jerusalem. The promise of the Father came upon them. They were endued with power from on high. And those individuals began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And upon that day of Pentecost, they proclaimed the gospel of Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. They received his word and were baptized in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. After all, in verse 37, they asked, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And the answer was given unto them in verse 38. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." When they were baptized, the Lord added to that day about 3,000 souls. And Acts 2 verse 47 says, "The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." The God of our salvation saves. Ephesians 2 and verse 1, "You hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." He made you alive. He quickened you, brought you back to life. And God brings the dead alive through Christ by burying the old man of sin and raising the new. In Romans 6, beginning with verse 3, "Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" My, the Apostle Paul could say that because he was baptized in Acts 22, 16. But then he goes on in Romans 6 and verse 4. "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should be made to walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man of sin is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that from now on or henceforth we should not serve sin." He went on later to tell them that they were servants of God, Romans 6, 17 and 18, because they had obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered them. And that form of doctrine was the death, the burial, and the resurrection, the gospel message that he told them that they had received in Romans 1, 16 and 17, where therein the righteousness of God was revealed. And in so doing, they now continue, and through that type, through that gospel message, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Once again, Romans 6, 3 through 6, they were dead in sin, they were buried in baptism, and raised to walk in newness of life. Dear friends, the God of our salvation saves. Second, the God of our salvation answers. In Psalm 65 and verse 5, "By awesome deeds and righteousness you will answer us, O God of our salvation. You who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of the far-off seas." The word awesome there in the Old King James is the word terrible. Now, we think of terrible today as something bad, but terrible in the Old English days showed a respect and a great power unto God. We think about the word awesome because it's defined as fearful or respectful or great. To when we look at the God of our salvation and His awesome deeds in righteousness and how He answers. Think about the hymn, dear friends. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above. With wisdom, power, and love, our God is an awesome God. And indeed, He answers. But to whom does He answer? In 1 Peter 3, verse 12, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. God will listen to His children, the righteous." When Jesus was teaching the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7 and verse 7, He said, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that will ask receives, he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Well, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" Confidence in the gospel message, dear friends, wherein we are saved and stand, will give us continuous answers from our Father. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 speaks of that gospel that was preached unto them, a gospel that they had received, a gospel that had saved them, and a gospel by which they could stand therein. And when you and I stand in that gospel message, wherein the righteousness of God is revealed, Romans 1:17, then we are able to grasp the Scriptures, to hold to them, and to have confidence knowing that the God of our salvation answers. You know, later in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul concludes by saying, "Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord," and He does, because He is the God of our salvation, and He answers. Dear friends, let's pause here. Our J. Webb is coming back, and he's going to tell you about another free study about the victory in Jesus.
We are so thankful for you, our listeners, and your desire to know more about Christ. Our free study offer on this program is Victory in Jesus, a wonderful study booklet. Please call toll-free at 1-855-IGH-6988 and leave your name, address, and just say Victory Study. That's it. Again, call toll-free at 1-855-IGH-6988. Please leave your name, address, and just say Victory Study. You may also go to our website at internationalgospelhour.com. Click on the Contact tab and leave us the same information, name, address, and type Victory Study in the message box. We appreciate our listeners and your interest in the things of Christ. And now let's return to Jeff and our study.
And now the God of our salvation, He is beneficial. Again, Psalm 68:19, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation, Selah." You know, later translations say that He bears our burdens. Why the word benefits? Well, we are able to see what is provided for one's obedience, and one's burdens are lightened with all the things that God will grant. He will load the one who accepts Him as the God of their salvation. How about in Ephesians 1 and verse 3? We learn there that every spiritual blessing is in the heavenly places in Christ. Not the physical blessings, but every spiritual blessing is there. What a benefit! James 1 and verse 17 reminds us how every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no varying nor shadow of turning. Riches are able to flow down, and God grants us good and perfect gifts that are from above. Yes, dear friends, let us think spiritually. Every compassion and mercy comes from God in Lamentations 3 and verse 22. So numerous that we go on to read in Lamentations 3, 23 and 24, that they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I will hope in him. You know, folks, let me pause here and throw this out there. There are about five chapters in the book of Lamentations, 5 to 6 chapters. And you know, I find that a book of lamenting has this wonderful passage or these scriptures just about in the middle. And when you look at that, when we're in the middle and we look to our left and we look to our right, we're able to have a place to stand where we no longer lament or we're saddened of our situation. Just a side thought there. How about every care to be cast upon him? In 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, we're taught to cast our care upon him, for he cares for us. And oh, think of the beautiful words of Jesus in Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, it brings to mind another beautiful hymn. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. I found it so, I found it so. What great benefits! You know, dear friends, we will talk about the benefits of a job, the benefits of membership here or there. But you know, dear friends, the benefits of a job, vitally important. Retirement, health insurance, whatever it may be. The benefits of membership has a lot of discounts that we can save at other places, but we cannot underestimate the benefits of the God of our salvation and what he provides. Number 4, the God of our salvation helps. Psalm 79, verse 9, help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for your name's sake. Oh, the plea of the saved. Lord, help us. Keep sin away from us. I love the promise to the Christian in 1 John 1, 7 through 9. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Dear friends, he's writing there to the Christian. He does not tell the one who is not a Christian to confess their sins. This is a promise to the one who is already saved. That's the entire context of 1 John 1, even into chapter 2. I love this assurance. We talked about prayer earlier and how God answers. Listen to Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What a wonderful thought. The God of our salvation saves, answers, he's beneficial, and he helps. We'll be back in about 30 seconds.
The International Gospel Hour app is available for your iPhone or Android. Go to the App Store for iPhones and Google Play for your Android. Search International Gospel Hour and download our app absolutely free. You can have access to our website, social media, podcasts, our YouTube channel, and other resources, all by the touch of your finger in the palm of your hand. Please download the International Gospel Hour app today.
Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause your anger toward us to cease. Psalm 85, 4. Now that's a plea from an individual who is supposedly living for God. The plea of the psalmist to turn us and let your anger toward us cease. There's an acknowledgement of the God of our salvation. And dear friends, we would make that plea today that there are many who need to respond to the God of our salvation, or the God of salvation. Dear friends, the God of salvation through Jesus Christ instructs us what to do in order to embrace the God of our salvation. Through Christ, we are to believe on Him as He commands us in John 8 and verse 32. How we can know the truth shall make us free, but we must believe in Him as He is truth, John 8:24. Jesus taught us to repent of our sins in Luke 13:5. It's what Peter said on the day of Pentecost when they asked, what must we do? He told them the first thing was to repent, Acts 2:38. And that God used to wink at ignorance, but now commands men everywhere to repent, Acts 17:31. We confess Christ as the Son of God. We acknowledge His greatness as the eunuch did in Acts 8:37, as we are to do with our mouths, Romans 10:9-10. Then yes, friends, we are to be baptized into Christ as we studied earlier, for our sins to be washed away, Acts 22:16, for our sins to be remitted, Acts 2:38, and that places us in Christ, Galatians 3:26-27. Then we begin a faithful walk with our Lord. Let's continue our studies together another time, shall we? Thanks for joining me today on the International Gospel Hour. I'm Jeff Archie. Keep listening.
God be with you till we...
Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We hope, first, that it glorified God. But second, we hope that it edified you. Listen to it again if you need to, or to other lessons in this series by going to the Media tab at our site, internationalgospelhour.com.